Do you know how it feels to know something's missing? Here's still a small voice that you just keep dismissing. Do you know how it feels to be troubled inside? To think just for you on a cross someone died.
Do you know how it feels when you knock to surrender? Every sin's washed away, never to be remembered. And know that it's real. Tell me, do you know how it feels?
And how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you pillow each night and know that's real?
Ain't it good
to know how it feels?
Do you know how it feels when your cold heart is melted and the tears started flowing the moment you felt it? Do you know how it feels to know you've been changed and it seems that the whole world has been rearranged?
Do you know how it feels
wherever you roam?
You still have the feeling you're not at home, knowing heaven is real. Tell me, do you know how it feels?
And how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're alright when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good
to know how it feels? And how does it feel to know you're a child of the King? Your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel to know you're all right when you lay your head on your pillow each night and know that it's real?
Ain't it good
to know how it feels?
Ain't it good
to know how it
feels? Feels good to be a Christian in the house of God on a Sunday morning, doesn't it? Amen. That was good. I enjoyed the Lady Brown's trio singing. I think we ought to have the guys come up and do a trio at some point, too. The Jeremy or the Michael Paul. Maybe sometime. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 1 in your Bibles. If you'll go there, please, this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And when you find your place there, if you would, please stand with me. 1 Samuel chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 1 this morning. And when you find your place there, if you'll stand and then if you'll follow along quietly in your copy of the Word of God, and I'll read aloud. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says this. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Our Father, we do come to you this morning ready to receive whatever it is that you have for us. Please speak to us, we ask. Please open our hearts and deal with us as you seem fit, Lord. Help us to understand your word. Ask if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that you would convict their hearts and help them to make that decision today to accept you as their Savior. Be with Pastor Becker, Lord. Use him in a mighty way like only you can. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We were only kind of joking about the Browns trio, so you guys get one ready and we'll have you guys come up here. That would be great. Brother Drew said, can I do that? I said, sure, you can say that, but don't actually have them come up and do the special. We love you guys, though. They're friends, so that's why I can say that. 1 Samuel chapter 5, and I enjoyed hearing Brother Drew read all the names in here. That's why I have Brother Drew read them and not me. When Pastor Johnson did that to me, he'd give me the sticky note right before I come up and read them, and I thought, you got to give me some warning because there's some verses and names in there that no one says, and he's like, I'll let you know when there's a hard one. He never let me know when there was the hard ones. So you got it good. 1 Samuel chapter 5, we're going to kind of take the theme of today with our Child Dedication Sunday, kind of similar as we would in a sense of like a Mother's Day or Father's Day. Of that sense, we have a number of families with their children getting dedicated today, and take this time from this passage here to talk about this lady, Hannah. And you see this man, first of all, in the story, Elkanah, the Bible says, and he had two wives. Now, that is not God's plan, but he had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. And the Bible says that they would go up to worship and sacrifice to the Lord yearly, and they would go up there and they would bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And as they went to bring the sacrifice before God, that Elkanah came and he gave a portion to his wife, Peninnah, but he gave a worthy portion to Hannah. And as they went up to sacrifice there, they would bring that before the Lord, but the Bible says in verse number 5 that the Lord had shut up the womb of Hannah, that God did not allow her to have children, but to Peninnah, the other wife, that she had many children. And so that God used this as an opportunity to build the faith of Hannah and to show how God can come through in an impossible situation, and that God could use a difficult situation and turn it out for good. See, many times we would ask to not have the difficult situation, but that's where God many times shows himself real in our lives, when we come before God and ask for help, because he can help in time of need, right? Right? Amen. God can help in time of need. And when you have a need, you bring that before the Lord. And Hannah brought this need before the Lord that God had allowed in her life. She desired a child, but God had not allowed her to have a child at this point. And she prayed before God that God would allow her to have a child. We're going to look at this passage here for a bit today at this verse here that we'll find in the last couple verses of this chapter, and we'll get it to the end of the story. But the title of the message is this: For This Child I Prayed. For This Child I Prayed. At the beginning of the story here, years had passed. How many years, we don't know, but years had passed, and they'd go up to the temple, and Peninnah, it'd say here in a bit, was the adversary of Hannah. And you'll have that person that's kind of your adversary. You know, I know that we have the bullying term that goes around today, but that person that just seems to be your adversary. And for her, they were kind of stuck in the same home, if you will, but God allowed this to happen. They'd go up each year, and they'd worship, and she'd pray and call out to God, but God did not seem to answer her prayer. God did not give her the request of her heart as it seemed at this time. Now understand this as we get into the message, that God allowed the situation to happen. Sometimes we call out to God and we say, God, why? God, what is happening? What are you doing? But know this, that God allowed this situation to happen in her life. But also understand this, that no one has the same journey. That God has a plan for your life that's different than my life and that's different from others' lives. And sometimes we go to look around us and we say, well, why do they have this and why do they have that? Many times as a Christian, difficult things may come into your life and you look at the world that seems to be running as far away from God as they can, and where you pray for God to allow you to maybe have a child, if it will be for this story or for something else, and it seems that the wicked seem to be blessed. It seemed that they have everything at the moment. It seems that way. I want to give you a few thoughts today about this message of, for this child I prayed. First of all, we look at the problem that came from the Lord. In verse number 5, it says, and to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Realize this, that this was a plan that came from God. This was God's plan for her life. Can you accept that in your life, that when God brings something in your life, that it's a plan that came from God? Now, sometimes we get running from God, and we run off in sin and leave God, and sometimes we blame God for what happens in our lives. That's our fault, not God's fault, right? But we see here that Hannah, that she had a problem, if you will, and not that it was wrong, but God allowed pain and suffering, if you will, to come into her life. In the next verses here, she'd have an adversary, and Hannah would weep, and she would cry out to God. She would not eat, and this sorrow consumed her life. This difficulty controlled her thoughts, her emotions, her direction for her life, something that God had brought into her life. First of all, we notice this, that God had a plan and God had a purpose. You realize that whenever God brings something in your life, that God always has a plan and God has a purpose for what he does. We don't have to know the end result. We just need to trust God through the process. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. See, it's one thing to say you trust in God. It's another thing to say you trust with all your heart. And to trust God, first of all, with the problem from the Lord, we see is this, that it was from the hand of God, that God allowed this trial to happen in her life, that God specifically had shut up her womb. Why? Because I believe that God wanted to get the glory from the child that she would have and the children that she would have. It came from the hand of God. As parents in this room, I know it may not be everyone related to this, but as parents in the room, I never realized as a younger couple before children or as a single person, I never quite understood the miracle of a child. I never understood the miracle of God giving birth to a child, giving that child to you in your home, and understanding that that is such a prayer need that comes through the hand of God. God allowed my wife and I to go through a different path than I chose. We did not come into marriage knowing all that God would bring our way, but God allowed us many years ago, and I know everyone has their own path, but God allowed us to go through a miscarriage and have a stillbirth and bury a child. God allowed us the next year and blessed us with a son. I did not choose that path. God chose that for me. 10 years had passed, and we were content with what God would have us to do, but God allowed us to then adopt our daughters, which one, the younger one, is being dedicated today. Her birthday is tomorrow, and so we're looking forward to that. I did not see that in the beginning, but God saw that. I did not see the path that God had for me to take, but God saw that, and that was God's working. I know it's been said before, you said, you know, I wouldn't change a thing that happened in my life. Well, I do believe there's some things that if we could, we'd ask God to change them. But I believe looking back, you see the hand of God, how God orchestrates and works all things together for good. The good things and the bad things, God can work all those things together for good. Our family would not be where we are today if it wasn't for the hand of God and following the hand of God in our life. See, each story was different from us in our home. Each child is different. There's no two children alike. And for those of you that have children in your home, you realize how different each of your children are. But that comes from the hand of God. I think about Moses. And at that time where the Egyptians were having all the male children to be killed, and that there was a godly mother that protected her son. And it came to a point where she could not keep him any longer, and she had to take the choice to put him in that ark and put him in the bulrushes and leave him out there. And what was she doing? She was taking the child that God gave to her and giving that child back to God. You say, how could a mother do that? Because she trusted God, that God was going to work this out for good, and God had a plan for Moses' life. And I believe that God has a plan, first of all, that God is the creator. God's the one that gives life. God's the one that gives us our children. That has not come from man, that comes from God. And when we realize that he is the creator and that he has given us our children, he's given us our life, that is God's doing. and that we trust the hand of God, we see that the hand of God caused the hurt of her soul. And as we see in Hannah, in verse number six, it says, her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And that she did year by year, and she went up to the house of God, and she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. She was grieved in her soul. In verse number 10, it says, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord, and she wept sore. Does God bring this in her life to cause some anguish, to cause some hurt in her life? No. God was drawing Hannah closer to him so that God could do a miracle in her life. We see the hurt in her life. The book of Psalms says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We see the trials that may come in our life are for a moment. They're for a period of time for a Christian. If you know the Lord as your Savior, that weeping may endure for a moment. Trials have an expected end, but aren't you thankful for heaven? As you think about that, all the trials, all the difficulties we go through in life, one day will be ended. And one day God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and we'll be in perfect peace and joy with God for all eternity. And that is if you know him as your Savior. That God allowed this hurt, if you will, allowed this pain in her life. But not only to see the problem that came from the Lord, but we see the provoking of the adversary. We looked in verse number 6 and 7. It says, and her adversary provoked her sore. This came from Peninnah. It came from the other wife. That's a testimony for guys. You don't want to have two wives. That's not going to turn out well. Keep working at making your wife happy, not trying to make two wives happy, all right? And so it says that she provoked her. If she provoked her, she was her adversary. It says in a couple of different places, and it said year by year she provoked her. The provoking of the adversary, that God allowed this to come into her life. The Bible says in verse number 7, she did this year by year and went up to the house of God and provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. The Bible says that it made her to fret, the Bible says, and to make her sore. The Bible says that God allowed this difficulty to come into her life. You know, as I think about this, that we have an adversary, don't we? The Bible says we have an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And we do have an adversary in this life. You may look at the adversary as a person, but the adversary truly is the devil. The adversary truly is Satan, that is trying to deceive and to hurt and to cause us to go against God's will for our lives. The Bible says, be sober. To be sober is to be calm, to be vigilant, to be watchful. It says, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible continues on to say this. It says, to resist steadfast in the faith. To resist the devil, the adversary that God has brought into your life. So we see that Hannah not only had a problem from the Lord, but she had a provoking from the adversary. I want you to look down in verse number 9. In verse number 9 it says, and Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat down upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and she wept unto the Lord, or prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She prays, and Eli the priest is over there watching her, and watches her praying, and she was praying in her heart and moving her mouth, but no words coming out, and she was weeping. And he looked at her, and he thought that she was drunk. He thought that she literally was drunk, and he went to her and asked her, what was wrong? What is going on with you? And she said, I'm praying to the Lord. You ever had that prayer need that you just begged and begged and begged God for? She had a prayer need before the Lord. She didn't just pray, but she opened up her soul to the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but she was specifically praying for a son. And I know this, that if you have a child today, you prayed for them. And I know this, if you have a child today, I pray that you are praying for them, because that is a gift from God, and that God can do mighty things through prayer. God can do mighty things through prayer. And she came to God, and she didn't go to everyone else to get her needs met. I'm not against finding medical help, if you will, with that, but she came before the Lord. And she said, if the Lord is the one that shut up my womb, the Lord is the one that could provide as well. And she came and she poured out her soul before God and prayed and wept and poured out her heart before the Lord. And Eli the priest came and talked to her, and she shared her prayer request from the Lord. You know, the Bible says in the book of Philippians, it says, be careful for nothing, to be worried, to be troubled about things. He says, but it says this, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. To be careful for nothing, to be worried. In this life, you can go around and worried and troubled and fretting about so many different things, and things that are real, not making light of them, but the place where we should pour our heart out is to God. And to bring those before God, because God is the one that makes the difference. We read it in Sunday school, but the verse is this, is anything too hard for God? And the answer is what, church? No, there's nothing too hard for God. God can do anything but fail. God said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And she prayed her heart out to God, and God heard her prayers. Aren't you thankful that when you pray to God, that God hears you? Aren't you thankful that you're not praying to a statue? We were out visiting yesterday, and we decided it's a nice day. We're going to take the girls out with us visiting, and Joel was out doing bus calling, and we went on the street, and we got the girls' scooters because we thought, five houses down the road, we're going to be carrying them. And so we got their scooters, and we got going down the street, and we were visiting, and my wife was on one side with Charlotte, I think it was at this time, and I was with Caroline on the other side of the street. And as we're out there visiting, and they came to a house that had a Buddha statue. And Charlotte came to us and said, oh, look at the little baby down there. And they're like, well, it's not a baby, but we're not going to get into it. But people will stop and they'll pray to a God, to a statue, to something that has no answer, that's no help. But we have a God that hears our prayers. We have a God that answers prayer. We have a God that's alive. We have Easter here in a couple days, and we serve a risen Savior. He's not dead. He's alive, and He lives forevermore. And we have a God that hears our prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool that many times is neglected. It's a tool that we have to bring before God that many times we leave aside. We see this prayer of a mother. She wasn't a mother yet, but God was about to answer her prayer. And then we see the promise that was made to her. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11, this promise, first of all, that she made, that Hannah made, and she said, she vowed a vow, praying to God, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me, and forget not thine handmaid, but wilt thou give thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I don't know about you, but when we prayed for a child, I prayed for a child that we would keep, that we'd have in our home, not knowing the sleepless nights, not knowing the bottles, the diapers, all that. It's all great and wonderful, but you pray for deliverance to get through some of those phases of life. Sometimes people say, oh, remember this phase, and I say, oh, I remember it well. I'm ready for the next phase. And it's good, though. The blessings that come from God, but think about this, that she prayed for a child from God, a man-child, she said, a boy. But she prayed for a child so that she could do what? Turn around and give him right back to the Lord. You look at the faith that she had. And I'm telling you this, that God heard her prayers, but I believe this, that God saw her faith. God saw the faith of this woman that said, you're telling me if I give you a child, you're going to turn around and give this child right back to me. And she made a vow, a solemn promise before God. And she made a promise to God. But look at this, though, that not only did she make a promise to God, but God made a promise back to her. In verse number 12, it came to pass that she continued praying that Eli the priest marked her mouth, and they spoke there. We'll skip a couple of verses here. And Eli answered in verse number 17. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She made a promise to God. You know what? If you make a promise to God, you better keep it. That's a solemn vow and a promise before the Lord of heaven. She made a promise to God, but God made a promise back to her through Eli the priest and said, I'll give you a child. And she went, and her countenance was no more sad because she believed that God was going to answer the request that God, that she had made to God and that God had made back to her. This promise to God was not a selfish request. It was a sacrificial request. See, many times we may ask for things that might be more selfish, something that we need or want from God, that we may, many times our needs that we look at are really more of wants, not making light of the needs. But this need that she had, it wasn't a selfish need, but it was a sacrificial request that she had. She said, if you give to me, God, I'll give back to you. And she made a promise to God, and God made a promise to her, and God never makes a promise that he does not keep. You know that? If God makes a promise, he will always come through. He's never failed from one good promise, the Bible says, that he has given to us. But then in verse number 17, we see a peace that she had in her heart, a peace that Hannah had in her heart. In verse 17, Eli said, go in peace. Go in peace. And God granted the request that she had, and she went in peace, and her countenance was no more sad. Did she have a child yet? No, she didn't. But God had promised it, and she believed that if God said it, that God was going to come through with that request, and that God was going to follow through, and she had peace even in the trial. She had peace even in the storm, believing that God was going to come through as he said. God gave her peace. You know, the Bible says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You ever go to God troubled? You ever go to God with your needs and on your knees and on your face and pouring your heart out to God, but you leave in peace, not because everything changed, but because God has revealed and given you the peace in the midst of the storm. God's given you mercy to help in your time of need. God doesn't take away all the trials, but he gives us grace and mercy and peace through the needs. And then lastly today, we see that there was a plan for God's use. A plan for God's use. We're going to skip over a number of the verses here, but God gave Hannah a child and gave her a son that they named Samuel. Amen? Amen, Samuel. There we go. He's awake. Good. Just checking to make sure. And in verse number 26, she brought this child to the temple, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. She went back to the temple as God had promised and as Eli had promised, and she came back with a child, and when the child had weaned, she came back and said, this is the child that I prayed for. Don't you love answered prayers? This week, there's been a number of answered prayers that I just have thanked God for me personally, for our church, and she came back with an answer of God's promise. And she held that child in verse number 26. She said, this is the child that I prayed for. Look at verse number 27, and it says this, and for this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. She got a child. As soon as that child was weaned, she brought him back to the temple and said, Eli the priest. I don't know if that was a blessing or a curse. Eli's probably like, we're not taking children in right now. We need help. You ever find it interesting? When mom has all the kids, she's fine. When dad has all the kids, we're like waving the white flag, like, someone help me. Pizza delivery. Turn on something. You know, help me. And she brought Samuel to the temple and said, this child I prayed for, and I'm lending him to the Lord. She's returning. Why? Because God gave her that child, and that's still God's child. Many times God gives us something in our life, and we take that and say, God gave it to me. Now it's all mine. No, it's still God's. You're a steward of what God has given to you. We understand this, that Samuel, when he came to the temple, he was a young child. But as Samuel would grow and Eli's sons were wicked and they walked away from God. And Samuel, he grew to love God. Samuel grew to listen to God, and God called out to him in the temple. But then also Samuel was led by God in his life, and Samuel became a great prophet of the Lord, and Samuel was used to anoint Saul and David as the king of kings, first and second kings of Israel. Is this just a chance that God used Samuel's life? I don't believe it. I believe there was a mother that was praying because of a problem that God brought into her life, and she, by faith, brought that need to God, and she brought that child back to the Lord for God's use. Many times we look at what we have as ours, but realize this, that our children are God's. Our children are a gift from God, no matter the age, whether you're parent, grandparent, or child. Children are a gift from God, but also is this, children are responsibility to the parents. Children are responsibility to those whom they're given. I remember when we received our children, we got them in our arms and brought them home, and the family left, and we went, oh no, what are we doing? We kept them alive, so we're good. but it's a responsibility, not just physically, but spiritually speaking on top of that, that you direct them in the right path for their life. But understand this, for children, that you must accept God's will and God's plan for your life. Just because Hannah was following God doesn't mean that Samuel was automatically going too. See, children, you have to follow the training that's given to you. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, will not depart from it. And that's your goal in your life, to hear the training and to follow that. What is the burden that you're carrying before the Lord today? What is the burden that God has put on your heart? Bring that burden before the Lord and pour your heart out to God, realizing this, that God uses trials for his plan and his purpose. And that if it wasn't for this trial, maybe there would have never been a Samuel. Oh, by the way, as Samuel was in the temple, his mother would come every year as they came to offer their sacrifices to the Lord. And every day, every year they came, the Hannah came to see her son, and she brought a little coat and gave it to her son and said, son, I prayed for you, and I'm still praying for you, and I pray that God would use your life. See, there was a mother that put an imprint on her son's life, and then that young man would grow up to serve God in his life, and God would use Samuel because of a mother that pled for his life. And oh, on top of that, that God would bless Hannah with more, with three sons and two daughters after that, that God allowed her to have Samuel, and she gave him back to the Lord, and God blessed her with many more after that. What is the burden that you have before God? Bring it to the Lord. You realize that God can answer and do exceeding abundant above all that we can ask or think. But you have a responsibility, parents. You have a responsibility, grandparents, to be in prayer for the ones that God has brought into your life. Young people, you have a responsibility for those that have been taught from the Word of God, that you've had someone that's prayed for you, someone that's invested in your life, and it's your responsibility to take that and to live for God. For this child, I prayed. She prayed for this need, and God answered it. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please, this morning. What is the burden on your heart? I want to encourage you with a couple thoughts for this. Whatever the phase may be of your life, pray for your children. Pray for your family. Pray for the loved ones that God has brought into your life. Pray for them. When's the last time you've prayed and you've wept over your family? When's the last time you invested and taught them from the Word of God? Young person, are you accepting the instruction and the challenge that's been given to you in your life? God has a plan for your life, but we must each accept and follow what God has given to us in our lives. We didn't talk about it this morning really much, but if you don't know that you're saved, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your only way to heaven, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't know you're saved today, would you trust in Christ as your Savior today? Today can be that day of salvation for you, simply putting your faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, went in the grave for 3 days, and rose again to pay the full payment for your salvation. Head bowed and eyes closed this morning. I don't know the need that you have today. Whatever it may be, bring that need before.